Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
I actually like that one. It's Love Sport. We're having Love Sport. It's a Derby County fan show. On the line is Rams writer Simon Long. Simon, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Paul. I'm well. Yourself?
I'm not bad. I'm not bad at all. There's a lot to talk about, and we cannot get away from Derby County player Max Lowe sort of saying he was shocked by the comments from pundit Craig Ramage on BBC Radio Derby that suggested that young black lads should go back to the basics of working hard. It's an age-old stereotype. How has this played out in the Derby area?
Not the best, to be honest. It's brought out the worst of some folk, I think. And it's not... I think a lot of us agree what he said was wrong, which it was wrong. There's no need to bring colour, race, creed, anything like that into the situation, you know. But it's considering what's happened over the weekend with obviously Caroline Flack and the way she was trolled and things like that, some of the reaction of people to Craig himself, I think, you know, some of it has been a little bit too far. But it's one of them. It's a very, you know, it shouldn't have been said, full stop. Yes, it questioned the player's mentality, you know, questioned the young lad's mentality and his attitude, if you feel there's something to be questioned about. But obviously bringing the colour into it, you know, it brings it to a different level, and there was no need for it to go to that level.
Well, I mean, it disappoints me, I've got to say.
Of course it does, of course.
But the most important thing for me is that it's out there. I would rather know that about someone, that's the way they think, than not. Because there are too many people who have these thoughts that are hiding in plain sight. And that's a huge problem because, you know, if they're coaches, then players suffer based on their characteristics and not based on their ability. You know, this should be meritocracy. You know, if you're good enough, that's good enough. But when you are being, I suppose, hamstrung by your characteristics, something is deeply wrong there. And it's difficult for players to be able to deal with that and cope with it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that, definitely. I mean, I think that the point came from was Philip Koku. He questioned Jaden Bogle's ego at times, because of his poor performances recently. Which, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, Jaden Bogle, you know, we all saw how good a player he can be last season. He was, you know, up there with one of the players of the season last season because he was phenomenal. We've just not seen it this season, and you know, Koku, you know, he dropped him because his performances had dropped, and that, you know, And rightly so. You know, if he's not performing to the standard that he needs to perform, the right thing is to drop him. For me, I see Jaden Bogle personally. I feel he's better as perhaps a right winger. You know, but then for the manager to come out and actually, this is the first time to us, considering the bad start that Derby had this season. I think there was times where Koku would never question his players or would never sort of slate his players, if you like. But this, I think, is the first time he's done it. And, you know, he just sort of, you know, questioned his attitude, his concentration, obviously his focus, his ego. Because he wasn't happy being benched. You know, no young professional player is going to be happy being benched. They want to be out there playing football, playing the game they love.
The thing about it is, young players have an arrogance. They have a swagger. They have. That they do. And there's, do you know what? People look at that and celebrate it when things are going well. And criticise it when things aren't going well. Can't have it both ways. And also, you know, when they're not playing well, it's about working out what's going on. It's about working out. I mean, remember, he's 19. I remember myself at 19. You are up and down. There are very few 19-year-olds that are consistent. Especially in your Derby side, which, you know, historically, Derby is a difficult team to play for because of the expectation. Good managers have gone there and struggled. Very good managers have gone there and not brought to success because it's a difficult, you know, it reminds me of Nottingham Forest. Similar, difficult teams to play for because of their past. So, you know, you have to be consistent in your performances. And when you're not, I think as a player, your performances are there to be critiqued. Not a problem. You know, if they're not good enough, that's fine. But it's not because he's a black guy. It's because he's not playing well. And it's about working out why he's not playing well.
Definitely. You know, definitely. Yeah. And the thing is, if it just said, you know, I'd say it about all the young players, not discussing their colour. If it was just the young players, you know, sometimes, you know, if they are struggling to find form, they've got to go back to basics, you know, put the graft in, put the hard work in, then that's fair enough. But like I say, you drop the colour in and that's it. You know, all of a sudden you're labelling them and that is where, you know, the line gets crossed and it doesn't need to be. And you know, there was no need for that at all whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad. It's sad because, you know, it's a club that has had a lot of good, fine black players over the years. Some very good young black players over the years have come through the ranks at Derby, you know?
Yeah, and we're getting them through now.
Yeah.
You know, our academy is full of them now.
Yeah.
Setsi Ebisele, Jamal Hector Ingram, Shani Bar, Russian Hepburn Murphy, Brown, the Whittaker. There's so many good players in this academy that are black players.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing them. You know, I was watching the game, you know, before the and they're working hard, you know, and they're looking really good prospects. You know, and this is what we're aiming to do. We're aiming to bring these academy players through.
Yeah.
You know, we want, you know, Mel Morris wants 50% of his squad, his starting lineup next season to be academy players. And there's lots of players coming through, lots of good players.
Irrespective of skin colour. Irrespective
of skin colour.
That shouldn't be an issue. Because, you know, as you know yourself, even sitting in the stands, the game is all inclusive. Irrespective of, because if I play poorly, and I never played poorly, by the way, but if I played poorly, it's because I played poorly. It's not because I'm a black guy. It's because on that day, for that period of time, I wasn't good enough, and I'm not quite sure why sometimes. Sometimes players can't tell you. They really can't. But, you know, the problem that you have also sometimes is that filters down to the players in the academy, the younger players who are making their way when they realise that, you know, someone who, to be honest, is a role model, is an idol to those around the Derby area because he was a very, very good player for Derby. Has those kind of, that kind of thought process is disappointing.
I've listened to Craig for the last 7 years since he's been working, and you know, he does obviously, you know, he bleeds Derby County, and for him to come out with that, I think it shocked pretty much all of us. Realistically, you know, none of us expected it to come out like that or to come, and you know, I just don't know what to say. I'm lost for words,
yeah,
to be honest.
I mean, listen, the thing about there's a couple of things about things like this. When people say things like this, it's not an accident, it's not a slip of the tongue. This isn't. So, I mean, the apology is fantastic, you know, but it's irrelevant because as far as I'm concerned, this is what he thought. This is what he thought. And it's not something, you know, it's not a spur of the moment thing. This is how he has thought about this type of player. There's absolutely no dispute in that. And that's where the problem is, number one. Number two is the fact that it wasn't challenged at all by anyone. No one, and I know I've worked on radio where, you know, especially live radio at football matches where there's loads of people around, you know, in his ear, and no one challenged it. Maybe because they were afraid to, didn't know what to say. So what it highlights is a lot of education is needed, not just for him, by the way, not just for him, but for everyone else around there, because someone should have gone, hold on, can you explain what you mean? You are looking at players and you're talking about players' skin colour being a reason why they are playing the way they're playing. You are stereotyping people based on their skin colour. And that's age-old, dated mentality. But that is where he is.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know, why it wasn't brought up at Source, I don't know. But, then, I mean, yeah, he has come out and apologised. You know, and it just feels like, yeah, he has come out and apologised, but people are still paying for his blood. I'm not sure what else he has to do. Obviously, he's lost his job because of it. You know, and he won't be working with obviously, the BBC again. But like you say, it is all about education. We're seeing a lot of racism in football still nowadays. Yeah. It seems to have come to light more now, you know, like it was back in the 80s, perhaps. And it's something that definitely needs to be kicked out of the game, you know, because there's black players, there's white players, there's Chinese players, you know, there's every player from
diverse.
Every single race.
Yeah.
It is the most diverse game, like you say, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it brings joy to millions of people, and it doesn't need to be spoiled by racism or, you know, racism in general. You should appreciate the work that these men and women put in, you know, day in, day out, you know, to perform on a pitch. Yes, they earn big money. It doesn't matter, you know, that's just
that's
the nature of the business.
They're human beings.
Exactly, that was my point. They are human beings. Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't just affect one person. It affects multiple people. Mm. And, you know, it does need to be addressed. A lot more education does need to be done. Now, I'm sure there's times where people say things, perhaps, that, you know, they don't realise, you know, excuse me, but that's over the line there. You know, you shouldn't be saying things like that.
Mm.
So, again, this is where educating people about it, you know, it really needs to come in, you know. And I look at the players around Derby County, or the ex-players, you know, like Michael Johnson, you know.
Yeah, I know Johnson.
He's a big ambassador, you know. And he knows Craig.
He'll have played with him, wouldn't he? He should know him well.
Yeah, you know. So, I just feel, you know, I just feel it's just sort of. It just feels like for this, you know, for Derby County this season, just feels like it can't really get any worse now. And it just feels like we've hit a new low. You know, just when you think things on the pitch maybe start to look up, bang, something else goes wrong. Something, you know, off the pitch, and it's just.
Well,
I think a lot of fans just want this season to be over. You know, and it's just so downhearting.
Well, I tell you what, Simon. I mean, the saddest thing for me is that, you know, in a half an hour show, we've spent 15 minutes having to talk about this. But I tell you now, because we're coming up to a break, we're going to talk about. I want you to evaluate Derby as to, you know, how you've seen their season go, the plus points, the minuses, and what you think about Philip Cocu's reign at Pride Park. We will discuss this after the break. This is the fan show, the Derby County fan show on Love Sport Radio.
Love Sport.
We're back, and as promised, it's the Derby County fan show, and we are going to talk all football for the next 15 minutes. I'm here with Simon Long, a Rams writer. But first of all, I just have to let everyone know the football tonight. Chelsea 0, Man United 1. Anthony Martial scored with a header from a Wan-Bissaka cross. Now, Simon, Derby this season, how would you evaluate them right at this moment? What mark out of 10 would you give them?
I'm going to go 5.
Five?
Yeah, no, they are absolutely mid-table. 11 wins, 11 draws, 11 losses. Absolutely bang average.
Mm.
Now, yeah, we've had a lot off the pitch to deal with. Obviously, the drink drivers, and, you know, Lampard leaving, you know, so late on. And Cocu trying to find his best squad. It's been, you know, it was a bit of a shambles to the first half of the season, but then obviously in comes Mr. Wayne Rooney, and things have turned. You know, a corner has been turned. You know, we've started looking up the table. You know, there was only talks. I was a bit excited talking with Charlie last week, thinking, you know what, we could potentially make the playoffs. I've changed my mind a bit on that now, but this is a championship, so you never know. But what I've enjoyed seeing is seeing the young players coming through. Like your Jason Knights and your Max Birds, who have not been near the first team at all, really. And Max Bird especially has really developed as a special talent in that holding midfield role. Because when I first saw him near the start of the season, he played a couple of games last season. I didn't know what the hype was about, but I'm definitely buying into the hype now because he has become a phenomenal player at such a young age, at 19. And he's only going to get better, you know, and he sits next to Wayne Rooney in the middle of the park and he's improving week in, week out. And he's doing it at championship level. And I'm so pleased for him. I really am. And it's great to see. And this is, you know, I spoke earlier on in the season about I'm not bothered if we get mid-table or don't go up this season, as long as I'm seeing progression. And I'm seeing progression now. We're all seeing progression in this Derby team. You know, the players are playing better. There has been improvements. I look at the likes of Tom Lawrence, a player that got a lot of stick. He has now started to come into some great form at the moment. Andre Wisdom, another player that, you know, he wasn't near the first team, or he's always on the bench, not really getting starts. He's stepped up, you know, whether it be centre back or whether it be right back, you know, and he's been, you know, he's been brilliant for me. Dwayne Holmes, you know, he's been our outstanding player this season. I hope his injury is not too bad, but he's been absolutely phenomenal in midfield. You know, you're playing deep, you can play him further forward, out wide, you know, and he comes in and he does what he's there to do. He's creating chances, he's scoring goals, you know, and he's I think is sort of part of the kingpin of that midfield that gets us going. And we saw at the weekend when he went off that we weren't up to standard, we weren't up to our usual performance levels. So from going from a really poor start to the season, we have now started to, you know, see some progression at last, and we are getting good performances.
So after the heartbreak of playoffs last year, what in the summer, before, you know, prior to the season starting, what was your ambition for Derby, and how has that had to change as the season's gone on?
So I think I've always been sort of, we'll probably get mid-table. That's how I've always felt, because of when Cocker was signed, it was sort of like, yes, it's going to be a long-term project. It's going to be about bringing our academy players through. I thought, right, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, we haven't got a lot of money to spend on players, it's going to be mostly loans.
Were you happy with Cocu to start with? I mean, to be honest, if you'd said to me, guess who the new Derby County manager would be, I'd still be guessing before I got to Philip Cocu.
I was stunned, to be honest. When I found out, I was shocked. I was like, no way. You know, to have such a top class player in his day and a manager with the credentials he's got, you're thinking, no way, he's not coming to Derby, but he's here, and I was all for it, you know. But with that though, I think the expectation of, you know, a lot of our fan base, you know, as it would be, you know, we just missed out in the final. We then bring in an experienced top class manager. You think, right, we're going to get playoffs again. But for me, I always thought, you know what? Now, just listening to the remit that he was given, I'm thinking, you know, this is going to be a bit of a transition. You know, it's going to be a bit of a change in the winds, if you like. We need to now get some stability. And even, you know, before Christmas, where we were sort of 4 points off the bottom three, I still thought that, no, he will turn this around. You know, he just needs a lot of time to sort of get his ideas across to the players. Mm-hmm. And he's done that. And he's doing that now. You know, we're not going to win every game. You know, you have to accept that there is teams in the Championship that are better than us on paper, and just on, you know, just in general, they are better than us. And I accepted that really early into the season. You know, I've never been one of these that have been like sort of, oh, I want Cocker out or anything like that. I've always been, no, we've got to give him time. His credentials speak for himself, and he just needs that time to sort of get his ideas across and get his own players in. You know, I look at the Tavares signing that he's going to bring in the summer. Those were the sort of signs I was expecting to see, but obviously with him only having the sort of 4 weeks pre-season, he didn't have chance to assess the squad and look at the squad and see what he needed. But now he does, and I feel, you know, we could potentially see some more sort of whether it be Dutch or other European signings,
yeah,
you know, coming within the summer, and he can really put a stamp and make this squad his own.
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, I'm looking, as you were talking, I'm looking at the league table at the moment, and there, it is a dog of a division, let's be honest. It's difficult. There are so many good sides in it, and only three can go up. How far are Derby away from the promised land of the Premier League? They flirted with the possibility last season, but it appears that they've almost moved back again from actually getting there. It was in their grasp, and now it's just moving away into the distance.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when after beating 3-2 against Swansea, I was sort of like, hang about, we're 7 points away. If we can beat Bristol midweek, we're 4 points away, you know, potentially. Yeah. And then obviously, I thought, you know, if we get 2 away wins, you know, our home form's been brilliant. So I thought it's an easy 3 points against Huddersfield. But we've just sort of slowed down a bit again. We played well against Bristol, which didn't score. And that obviously it cost us, and we let 3 silly goals in.
Yeah,
you know,
I saw that.
Goals that just bad defending, really. And then obviously against Huddersfield at the weekend, it was sort of it felt like we'd fallen back into the Derby from the start of the season, yeah, where we weren't sharp, we weren't quick, there was no tempo, there was nothing, you know, nothing really created. And then I thought we'd managed to get a bit of a win from the wonder strike from Tom Lawrence. But then ultimately, bad defending, you know, one bad mistake from Bogle. Yeah, you could possibly blame moves for getting beat at his front post. And it's 1-1, and you leave a bit dejected and think, well, okay, it's back to square one. But I'm sure it's just a blip, you know. I do feel that, you know, this team will it probably won't make the playoffs, but it will definitely have something to say, because we've got to play the teams.
Yeah, you've got to play them, haven't you?
Like Brentford,
yeah,
Fulham, Preston, we've got to play all of them.
We're
not going to get promoted ourselves.
Yeah, you'll be able to cause some problems. But I mean, as a tasty treat, also you've got the sort of Wayne Rooney reunion derby. You're playing Man United in the FA Cup. That's a game you can just go full tilt at, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is now. You know, it is. I mean, we can't wait for that. You know, I think the majority of fans now have put promotion or playoffs out of their mind now. And it's, you know what, you know, I don't think, you know, we're not going to go up, we're not going to go down. Let's focus on the cup. Let's go and play Man United, and let's go put our best team out against them. Let's go win, let's go turn them over, you know, and let's progress, you know, let's get a bit of a cup run going. Why not? You know, you never know.
And I mean, what would be a fantastic end to the season for Derby County? What would you like?
It's a tough one. I think at the moment it just feels like one of them seasons where you're sort of playing for nothing, you know. And it's just sort of like what I'd like then, come the end of the season, I'd like to beat Leeds at Pride Park, beat Forest at Pride Park, see West Brom and Brentford go up, and see Leeds and Forest losing the playoffs.
Hey, fingers crossed, my friend. We're done. Cheers. Cheers, Simon. That's Simon Long, Rams writer. We'll be back in a sec. This is Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.